are wonderful. We really appreciate it. So thank you. I'd also like to thank those people who showed up to help me schlep very important merchandise in here so you guys can eat. And so I want to thank them as well. And there's a couple of announcements that we need to make. There are several sponsors for the class tonight. So we're going to have a very special class. And I'd like to thank Young Israel and Rabbi Berger for their generosity, for setting up the class, for allowing us to have the class here, for getting everything ready for us. So we just move everything in and are able to have a lovely dinner. And we had some absolutely outstanding Torah given over. Next week is Thanksgiving, and it's Turkey Day. And unfortunately, we're not going to have a class here. But, you know, if you'd like to come here and bring your turkey, you're more than welcome. The week after is Hanukkah, and we will have class on Hanukkah. So a week from this Thursday, there is going to be a class, and we'll probably...
No, right.
2 weeks. I said a week from this Thursday.
No, that's not right.
Go away from this Thursday. Today is this Thursday.
No, I'm not talking about
this coming Thursday.
All right, we understand what he means. We understand what he means.
That's not going to really pick on me tonight. It's okay.
Jerry, it's the second thing to go.
Yeah, thank you. We have, now that you did that to me, I'm going to sit down and chew on it. But also, I'd like you to take your phones, please, and silence them, like Mr. Kirby is silencing his. Please. Thank you. I want to welcome a very, very close friend of ours back. I'd like to welcome two friends back. I'd like to welcome Ben. Ben, thanks for honoring us. We're glad to see you're recuperating very nicely, and you're able to eat pretty darn good. So that's great. That's great. That shows that you're healthy. That's good. And also, I'd like to welcome back our very good friend, Dr. Harris Goldenberg. Thanks. Obviously, you're healing well, and Baruch Hashem, both of you should have a refuah shlema. Everything should go good by you. We surely know from nice things.
Amen.
And I think that Reb Soloveitchik is going to discuss who is being represented in this class tonight. And Marv is going to be a few minutes after class.
Yeah. Make sure you mention the parsha. I didn't do it.
Okay. I think. All right, first things, I also want to join Jerry in welcoming back the members of the Shir that were ill, and we look forward for them to having a refuah shleima, and we enjoy being with them. it says, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Yitzias Tzadik Osaroshem. Sometimes when someone is there, they're taken for granted, but when for a while they're not there, then you realize the role that they play. So I just want to say to Dr. Goldenberg and Mr. Jaffe that they made a roshim, and now they made a roshim when they weren't here, made an impression, will be cognizant of the Roshan that they are when they are there.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay. Okay. Then, also, Dr. Goldenberg is dedicating this year in memory of the person who just passed away, Vora Bas Nussen. Vora Bas Nussen Nechemia. Bas Nussen Nechemia. Apparently very, very close to their family, and should be an aliyah for her neshama.
Amen.
And also I was asked to dedicate this year in memory of Moshe ben Akiva, and it should be an aliyah for his neshama as well.
Amen. Amen.
All right, this week's Sedra is Parshas Vayetze. And we find in the Sedra that when Yaakov has the dream, so God appears to him. The Rambam says that it's not God appears to him, but it's the Malachim, the angels who speak in God's name, appear to him. Vine Hashem nitzav olav vayomar ani Hashem elkei Avraham avicha, I am the God of Abraham your father, Velike Yitzchak, and the God of Yitzchak, Ha'aretz Hashirata Shoche Veleha, the land that you are lying on it, L'chot Neno L'zarecha, I will give it to you and to your descendants. So the famous Rashi, I've discussed this Rashi many times, but I want to add something to it now. Rashi says that God took all of Eretz Yisrael and folded it up in the dream, and he put all of Eretz Yisrael under Yaakov, and why? Because so Rashi says. Ramazlar, he hinted to him, Shitahei Noche Likavesh Levanov. It will be easy for him to conquer it. It'll be easy for his descendants to conquer it. And there is a why, there is a halacha, it's according to some, it's rabbinic, that Dalet Amos, four cubits around the person, that's like his property, and you can acquire things that are within under certain circumstances that are close to you, whatever it is, so it will be very easy for you to capture. And now this medrash, I've said many times, is very strange. It has to be understood. Now there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael. It's not so much a mitzvah of conquering; it's a mitzvah of having possession. But the only way you get possession is by conquering it. You know, so the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael. So is one part of the mitzvah, and the second part of the mitzvah is the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael. And the way I heard from my father, and I've mentioned this, my father felt that there was two separate, and the truth of the matter is, the Beis Halevi, my great-great-grandfather said that. there are two aspects to the mitzvah. One is conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and the other is living in Eretz Yisrael. And there are aspects of that mitzvah, there are aspects that we deduce from one part of the mitzvah to the other. For example, according to some opinions, that a person is not required to move to Eretz Yisrael if there is danger in living there. It's not required. But if it's only a small amount of danger, he's allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's allowed to take that risk. He's allowed to take that risk. There is some dispute about it, but he's allowed to take that risk. Today, you have a risk wherever you live. So, one time, you know, one time, after when you had all the terrorism in Eretz Yisrael, so somebody came with a shayla to Rav Eliashiv, I think I mentioned it there. At what point can we move out of Eretz Yisrael? At what point? After all, there's a risk. So Rav Eliashiv said to them, come back to me when more people are killed from terrorism than through car accidents. In other words, they didn't ask the question about car accidents, and there's danger. There were dangers in car accidents,
especially in Israel.
That's what I think we have an Israeli influence over here. So, the biggest risk I think for Americans driving in Israel is that you might drive into an Arab town. But I have a cousin, and he lived in the Hebron for a while, and this is before they had the special roads. So he would go, there's the long way, and the short way is going to the capital of the Palestinians, what's it called, the capital city for the Palestinians.
Ramallah.
So he would, when he would go through Ramallah, he would put a kafir on.
He still got stoned.
He still got stoned. He was an Israeli place, though.
I don't think anybody, when they see the kafir, they don't look at the plates. Anyway, so anyway, so but in any case, so why is one allowed to risk their lives and live in Eretz Yisrael? But the answer is, since there are two aspects to the mitzvah, one is a mitzvah of taking conquest, and that usually involves war, and the other is living in Eretz Yisrael. So my father said the opinion that says you're allowed to take risks in order to live in Eretz Yisrael is because two aspects of the same mitzvah, so one is deduced from the other. So just like in regard to war, you're allowed to take risks, obviously. So one is allowed to take risks in living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's how my father explained. Beis Halevi also says there are certain things deduced one from the other. He doesn't discuss the same question, but two aspects to the mitzvah. So my father and the Beis Halevi, who was my great-great-grandfather, they felt it's two separate aspects, but part of the same mitzvah. I felt that it could be understood differently. You know, if you take a look at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Oh, here it is. So, Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Masah, Perek Lamed Gimel. V'harashtem Esaretz, this is the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. V'harashtem Esaretz, you shall possess the land, v'yishavtem ba, you shall dwell therein. Ki lachem nasati Esaretz l'reshes oso. Because to you I gave the land to conquer it or to inherit it. So he says, "V'harashtem Esaretz, you shall conquer the land, you shall possess the land, be yishavtem ba, and you shall dwell therein." Why? Because I gave you the land for you to take possession of it. The question is, what does that mean? What does it mean? And how, he should say, "V'harashtem Esaretz, conquer the land and dwell therein," and that would be it. What does he have to say? Why? Because I gave it to you to take possession of it.
It's the covenant.
In other words, but it's going back on residing there. So why? In other words, if he said you shall conquer the land because I gave it to you to conquer, we can understand it. But he says, you shall conquer the land and dwell therein because I gave you the land to conquer. So he says about conquering the land after you should dwell therein. That's very strange. The question is not mine. It's the Orchas Chaim's question. So there are Chaim, sorry. So the Chaim's question. So but the answer, I think, is very simple. The answer is, that, and we can see it today, do not think that the mitzvah of dwelling in Eretz Yisrael is only a mitzvah of dwelling, of living. The mitzvah of dwelling in Eretz Yisrael is in itself part of the mitzvah of taking possession of it. In other words, take a look at all the areas that the Jewish people captured in the Six-Day War and were not allowed to reside. Not allowed to reside. Those are the first lands that are being given away. The first lands to be given away. Not that they haven't given away places that Jews reside. They did. But the easiest areas to give away is the places that don't have Jewish residency. Jewish residency in Eretz Yisrael is not only a mitzvah of residing there. When you reside in Eretz Yisrael, you are in a sense, the mitzvah of conquering is not just the war. It's the mitzvah of possessing, of keeping it. How do we keep it? We keep it by residing there. If we don't reside there, the conquest is a very temporary conquest. You know, nations go in and they conquer other nations. But you know, if you don't reside there, ultimately you get pushed out. Listen, you need to take a banana republic like Vietnam. It was able to defeat, let's face it, the United States. Why is it? Because the United States came to conquer. They didn't come to stay. The living there is part, living in a country, that's part of maintaining the conquest, of keeping. Now, so that's possessing the land. You don't have real possession if it's just an army. But it's people not living there. So that's what he says. I gave you the land to possess it. You only have real possession of the land if you live there. And I think that's what the Medrash is trying to tell us. But I think there's more than that. The Medrash is trying to tell us, Yaakov figuratively, the whole land is folded up underneath him. L'chot nenu, I will give it to you and your descendants. The ultimate gift is only I give you the ability to reside there. But if you don't reside there, then you're going to lose the land. That is not real possession. The ultimate possession is residing in the land. So that's the way I explained it till now. But I think there's another way to explain it. You know, many of the and I'm talking at the religious anti-Zionists. For whatever reason, they're anti-Zionists. That without going into it, whatever their hang-ups might have been, I'm not. But they base it on a Gemara in Ksuvos. The Talmud in Ksuvos says that God gave three oaths: two to the Jewish people, and one to the nations of the world. One oath was not to rebel against the nations of the world. That was one oath. The second oath was we can understand that today. You see the pictures of the news at the Mexican border. to climb the wall to enter the land. Well, it's not talking about individuals, that's for sure. Okay, but shelo yalu b'choma, and then the third oath was an oath to the nations of the world. Shelo yishtabdu es Yisrael yosem yidai. In other words, they can do a little harm to us, but when they do more than a little, yosem yidai, then they're violating their oath. Now, so one of the questions, one of the questions that was raised when the State of Israel was established. So, war, shelo yalu b'choma. We, in a sense, took control of the land. You're not allowed to climb the wall. So we took control of the land. This was one of the questions raised. So my father at that time said, and it's interesting, my father's answer was repeated to his uncle, the Brisker Rav. My father said that the halacha is mentioned that people take oaths one to another together. So if one violates his oath, the other can violate his oath. Oh. So my father said, doesn't mean one day you made an oath, the other day he made an oath. It means it was given as a group. So my father said, listen, it was the nations of the world, and certainly the Arabs at that time, all the pogroms that they did. It was Mishtabed Yisrael Yosem Yidai. They killed men, women, children, people who were not armed. Not to talk about World War II, the Mufti's role and all that. So they violated their oath. We're allowed to violate our oath. Now, my father's uncle, the Brisker Rav, was probably one of the fiercest anti-Zionists in Israel. So somebody repeated, they said to the Brisker Rav, your nephew said this. So the Brisker Rav said, he says, I don't know if one oath was given contingent upon the other. That was his answer. He didn't say that my father was wrong. He just says he didn't know if one oath was given contingent upon the other. Okay. But in any case, that was the answer my father. My father has a whole halachic discussion. In other words, on this, he says there's a halacha that if a nation attacks the Jewish people, there's a mitzvah of mochemes mitzvah. So if they attack us, we can attack them. So, and in the meantime, we'll fulfill the mitzvah of kibush Eretz Yisrael also, conquering Eretz Yisrael also. That's what my father said. It's interesting that the same answer that my father gave that was repeated to the Brisker Rav later on when we looked at the, when I looked at books, so Rav Herzog, who was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael at that time, he gave the same answer. He gave the same answer as my father. Okay. But the Rav Chaim Zimmerman, he was a great genius, great Talmud Chacham, he lived in Chicago. He suggested a very interesting answer. And his answer was, he says, and he brought proof for it, and the proof is pretty strong. Shelo yalu b'choma, and in the Medrash it says, shelo yalu b'choma mi bachutz, from outside. He says there is a difference when you have what Trump calls an invasion from the outside and an invasion from the inside. He says, when the Jewish people took an oath, when the Jewish people took an oath, the oath was to not be ol b'chomah. That the words ol b'chomah means from the outside. They're trying to climb the walls from where? From Mexico. In other words, unless a Dovey comes and tells you, listen, in the time of Yeshua, they came from the outside. But there they were told, there was Urim the Tumim, there was a Navi, there was a prophet, the Torah tells us. But let's say we don't have any of that. We don't have the prophet like today. We don't have the Urim the Tumim. So the oath is only if we organize an army. Let's say we'll organize an army in Syria and we'll march on Israel. But where the army is organized from within Israel, where the people reside, where you have Jews residing there in Eretz Yisrael, then there is no oath. The oath is only to raise an army from outside Israel and to go to conquer. That would be legitimate if you had a Navi, you were told to do it, but just like that, it's legitimate, and this is what happened in 48. In 48, it wasn't an army that attacked from the outside. The Jewish people were residing, of course they got extra troops, but the Jewish people were residing in Eretz Yisrael. And he pointed out, it's very interesting, generally we say, Yerashtem es haaretz v'yishavtem bo. We talk about taking possession and then living in the land. He says, if you take a look in Tehillim, Perek Samach Tes, it mentions there residing in Eretz Yisrael and then conquering it. There are times when there's a command, so you raise an army from the outside and conquer it. But there are times, as it was when the Jewish people returned, so they first went to live in Eretz Yisrael, and then they went to conquer. Then they went to conquer, and that's allowed. And I think, perhaps, we could suggest that that's what the Medrash means here. Medrash means here, if you'll be living in the land, then it'll be easier for you to capture. What does it mean, God gave an oath? But what it means, God gave an oath, means that you're not going to succeed. It's not that God gave an oath, but they raised their right hand. It means you're not going to succeed. In other words, if we raise an army, I know somebody that decided he's going to raise an army and run to Gaza. The Israeli guards, he was a little crazy. The Israeli guards stopped him before he got too far. He was a very rich man. He paid that, I don't know, the money. Found a number of crazy people and got a bunch of cars and guma, you know. So, and then he said he was going to go, go conquer Gaza. In other words, there are certain things that we're capable of doing, and there are certain things that we're not capable of doing. Actually, Gaza, if Israel would decide to do it, they would be allowed, because that's part of Israel. But in other words, it has to be, There are things that are impossible, for us to do. There is no mitzvah to fight a war that we are going to be defeated. There's no mitzvah to fight a war that we're going to be defeated. But if we reside in the land, the Torah tells us that it's going to be easier for us to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's what the Medrash says. When the land is folded and put under Yaakov, Yaakov's presence is there, then it becomes easy to take possession of the land. And that's exactly what's happening, what happened in Israel in 48, and to a certain degree that's what happened in Israel when the Jews returned in this time of the second Beis HaMikdash. You know, they got permission to go up to reside there, and then when it became necessary, they raised an army to fight. But this is why it becomes easy for us, because of those residing in Eretz Yisrael, it becomes easier, to capture the land.
But if Gaza was sticking out from under him, it wasn't included.
So
he never got Gaza.
Huh?
He never had Gaza.
That's not true. Not true. It's cut down, but
all through Tanakh.
Okay. I think Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that they did have Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So in any case. So this is what the Medrash says very simply. If we reside in Eretz Yisrael, it'll be easier for the descendants of Yaakov to capture the land.
So next week we will not have class. The week after Hanukkah, we will have class. We will.
Today is Thursday, November the 15th, 2018. We just heard the Reb Moshe Soloveitcher's Parsha told Vayera. No class next Thursday. It's Thanksgiving. We will resume 2 weeks from today.